When changes to auto no-fault insurance in Michigan passed in 2019, lawmakers said it was a bipartisan win that would bring down the state's sky-high auto insurance rates.
It'll help Michiganders from Detroit all the way to the Upper Peninsula, because people across our state are sick and tired of paying these outrageous rates.
But for many catastrophically injured survivors of auto wrecks, it meant losing the care they had depended on for years. This is Stateside. I'm April Baer.
The law allowed insurance companies to slash rates for a nurse to take care of a catastrophically injured person in their home to about, $28 an hour.
Providers and advocates say that's far below the actual cost of in-home nursing care, and that it's put quality care out of reach for many survivors. They've been lobbying lawmakers this week to take action on reforms to the 2019 law. That's after Democratic House Speaker Joe Tate's decision to take control of and shelve no-fault auto bills passed by the Michigan Senate. Michigan Public's Tracy Samilton has been covering the devastating effect of the 2019 no-fault law on severely injured crash victims. Hi, Tracy.
Hello.
Let's start with that devastating impact part.
Mm-hmm.
People might remember that we collaborated on a podcast series called Collision Course, Vladimir Konstantinov's story, a hockey great who is now living with some very serious head injuries. What were, generally speaking, the consequences of the 2019 law change for crash survivors?
Well, the law slashed payments for their care, for long-term care, below the cost of providing the care. So thousands of people immediately lost access to that care. Then the Michigan Supreme Court stepped in, ruled that people who had their insurance policies and their accidents in place before the law passed, before 2019, they were still eligible for that long-term care. Anyone injured after that, the answer is no. You're not eligible for care paid at what providers say is a reasonable rate. So a lot of these people are not finding the care.
I know that a lot of survivors have been fighting very hard since then to try to fix that part of the law. Like years of going to the state capitol and news conferences and rallies, it seemed there for a little bit in the recent past that they'd made some progress, yes?
Yeah, in fits and starts, and they have been fighting very hard, as you point out. Their hopes went up, of course, when Democrats gained control of the state legislature in the last election. A lot of Democrats had said, we did not mean for no fault to do this to people, right? So there was a lot of dismay among Democratic elected leaders. And the Senate Insurance Committee did. They held hearings on bills. They passed these bills that would set reasonable rates for long-term care. Sent them to the House Insurance Committee,
which is chaired by Democratic Representative Brenda Carter. Isn't she an insurance agent herself by trade?
She is. That is correct. So she sat on these bills for months. The grassroots group that's been fighting for a fix to the no-fault law was obviously very, very frustrated. They finally did this public Twitter campaign where they had little Twitter videos, with a survivor or a family member saying, this is this terrible thing that the law did to me, and where's Brenda Carter? So they called her out by name.
I just completed another 36 continual hours of caring for my son Dan.
How many deaths will it take till she knows that too many people have died?
Where is Brenda Carter? Have you seen Brenda Carter?
No.
She seems to have responded to that campaign. She was going to have a meeting with this group last week. The day of the meeting, Democratic House Speaker Joe Tate's people called this group, said, he's taking over this issue. The meeting is canceled.
It's time for a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk about where the proposed reforms stand now and how survivors and their families are feeling about the delay.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from Kalamazoo College.
offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Do we have any indication about why Joe Tate decided to step in on this?
His office sort of gave a somewhat vague reason. Speaker Tate wants to get this right. They indicated that the bills would be shelved at least until the fall. And I got a similar sort of vague answer from him when I first learned, you know, that he did not want the Senate bills to get a hearing.
First of all, I think we want to find a solution around auto no-fault reform and working through that. I am certainly sensitive, you know, to making sure that we get and we put together a policy that doesn't raise rates at the end of the day. I know that there's a lot of work that continues to be done on that, but we want, I definitely want to get something done.
You know, that doesn't sound terribly hopeful for these bills. What about the issue of wanting to fix caregiver rates so they can stay in business but not raise the rates that people get charged for auto insurance? I see that the Insurance Alliance of Michigan is warning that if these changes pass, our insurance rates will, quoting here, skyrocket.
I guess that's their interpretation of what they say the cost increase would be. So for most people who don't have, you know, for folks who don't choose unlimited lifetime coverage on their policies, we're talking $100 to $200 a year more for those folks. For those of us who have this coverage, we're talking $200 to $300 a year more. So if you break that down by month, we're talking $8 a month on average, more to $25 more a month. I think what's kind of lost in this focus on those costs is that we still have the highest car insurance, among the highest car insurance rates in the nation. The no-fault bills clearly, you know, did not bring insurance costs down as much as they promised. And, you know, on average, we've saved about $25 a year. That's a year, not a month.
It sounds like the reform movement is at an impasse. What is the response from this survivors group you've been in contact with called We Can't Wait?
As you mentioned, they're back rallying at the state capitol. I did speak to their co-founder, Peggy Campbell, yesterday, and she is obviously as frustrated as anyone. And she says these roadblocks are happening, she thinks, because of the lobbying power of the insurance industry.
Yes, I think that's the major factor for the delays. The insurance lobby is so powerful. They have a lot of money. They like to donate to lawmakers, campaign funds, and they have money to advertise and say auto no fault is working when it is not. They say that survivors are getting the care that they need, and they are not.
Tracy, what about the representatives for the insurance companies in Lansing? What are they saying?
Well, they have three major arguments. You know, one is that the no fault law is working. Another is, you know, what we've talked about, we'll be forced to hike our insurance rates if these no-fault bills pass. And the other is that care providers are greedy and just want to fix the law so they can get their sky-high profits back. You know, I don't see much evidence for that in my reporting. And a typical example, you know, the law allowed insurance companies to slash rates for a nurse to take care of a catastrophically injured person in their home to about, you know, $28 an hour. The overhead the wages and the benefits at minimum cost about $45 an hour. And that's at minimum. That's really, it costs more than that to get a home care nurse into your home to take care of you.
Tracy, some of the insurance companies are using a piece of the 2019 reforms to try to adjust the benefits that they're paying out to people who were injured before that point, pre-2019. Can you explain the mechanism that they've been making use of?
Yeah, it's called utilization review, and it's intended to reduce the lawsuits over these claims that the providers are making for their bills. Intended. So what really is happening is that an insurance company says to the provider, we're not going to cover physical therapy anymore. And this is very common. A lot of them right now are saying no more physical therapy to deal with these long-term muscle problems that somebody severely injured has. You're cut off. The company, the provider, goes to the Department of Insurance and Financial Services in the utilization review process, and the agency decides who's right. The agency is siding with insurance companies 75% of the time.
What's the significance of long-term physical therapy for people who do have catastrophic injuries and maybe make use of a wheelchair or might even be quadriplegic?
It's really, really crucial care. Everybody's seen someone who is in a wheelchair and their arms have curled up into little, limbs that they can't use. That's because they haven't gotten proper physical therapy to keep their limbs mobile. It's also really important for pain control. You know, you're sitting in a wheelchair 24/7, but you're sitting in a wheelchair and you're not able to move yourself if you have a spinal cord injury. You need you're going to experience some pain from that, and physical therapy reduces the pain that you suffer.
Tracy, thank you so much for the update.
Yeah, it was great to be here. Thanks.
That's the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside episodes at michiganpublic.org. Today's pod was produced by April Van Buren. Other producers on our show are Mike Blank, Ronia Cabansag, and our director, Mercedes Mejia. Our intern is Olivia Meradian, and our podcast editor for Stateside is Rachel Ishikawa. The executive producer of the show is Laura Weber-Davis. Music for the pod comes from Blue Dot Sessions and from Audio Network. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.